Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you all hear me okay? Praise the Lord. If you have any prayer requests, please place them in the room and if you all can kneel, let's start with prayer. Please bow your hearts. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us today with this beautiful and pleasant Sabbath day. Thank you for reminding of us each week about your creation. And thank you so much for giving us a way, for giving us this Sabbath day for us to stay away from secular things each week. Thank you for the changing of the showbread each and every week. Thank you for forgiving us and loving us and helping us through our infirmities. And please guide us in every step of the way. And please bridle my tongue and all the tongue that may speak today on your behalf, that you alone are glorified. Please bless us to answer our prayers and all the from the minds of your people. Whether it be the answer be yes or no, and thank you for everything you've done for us. With the help of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of our King, and your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen and amen. This is the continuation of the study, part 3 of the series, Have Ye Oil in Your Lamps? Matthew chapter 25, verse 11, it says, afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. The foolish virgins were not able to enter because they are lacking the oil of grace. If one may ask, why is the oil cannot be shared to those who need it? Review and Herald, September 17, 1895, paragraph 3 says, in reading this parable, one cannot but pity the foolish virgins and ask the question, why is it that the wise did not divide their supply of oil? But as we make the spiritual application of the parable, we can see the reason. It is not possible for those who have faith and grace to divide their supply with those who have not. It is not possible for those who have made a thorough hard work to impart the benefit of this to those who have done but surface work. The parable is designed to point out the peril of doing a surface work. Before we continue, stop here for a moment. We hear almost every time from some other people that says, all you have to do is declare Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and you'll be good to go. Or some say, just repent before dying. And that's not how it works. And that's like doing a surface work. Or being Isaiah 4:1 verse Christians. To continue, many profess to be Christians, and for a time, their half-heartedness is not discerned. The difference between them and those who are truly pious is not made apparent. This parable should awaken solemn reflections. Considering it, we should ask ourselves, are we doers of the words of Christ? Are we building on the rock? Are we in our probationary time, making our calling and election sure. We should not soothe our consciences in expectation of heaven when we are not bearing the distinguishing characteristic of the Christian life. Paul says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? So brothers and sisters, to those that are having doubts after they sinned and still think that it is not possible for them to get up and follow the Lord Jesus Christ again, it is because the enemy are whispering to your ears and try to create that doubt. Because questioning and doubting the forgiveness of God originated from Satan. And that's why he was casted out to earth and took one third of the angels with him. So a man falls seven times and rises up again to continue to walk in a narrow path. Because there's a promise from 1 John 1:9, and it is 100% given to those who are sincerely repentant. It is not given for those who are willfully sinning against the Lord and not sincere with their repentance. Review and Herald, September 17, 1895, paragraph 4. And it says here, all the 10 virgins appeared to be ready for the coming of the bridegroom. And yet, the test brought out the fact that 5 were unready. Those who have true piety esteem and revere the law of God. Through the grace of Christ, they exemplify the principles of the law of their lives in their lives and will not willfully break any commandments of God. They realize that to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. They yield to Christ, who leads men to repentance of sin, who pardons the penitent soul, and clothes him with his own righteousness. The converted soul has a hatred of sin. He does not indulge in self-complacency, self-love, self-sufficiency, nor fast on day after day, claiming to be a Christian, and yet bringing dishonor upon Christ by misrepresenting him in character. Those who make this mistake and pass on filled with self-righteousness have not in reality made the first step heavenward. The first step toward heaven is conviction of sin. The second is repentance and obedience. True piety never exalts self. So as we all know, ourselves are our first and mortal enemy. So overcoming self is a good sign that we are following Christ. We are being sanctified daily as we are diligently study the Word of God and the testimonies. Some of us may have struggles with hasty temper when things don't go right on our way. And that could be the effect of something that goes into the body, like over-consuming spices, food, condiments, which will affect the character, and other sinful indulgence of appetite can also be the other reason why the character is not 100% in accordance with Christ's character. Some also are struggling with dress reform, but that is a part of obedience to Christ. When we allow Christ to change us to emulate his character, but it is not going to happen unless with our cooperation to obtain his perfect character. So who represent the foolish virgins? What is their difference from the wise? Review in Herald, September 17, 1895, paragraph 5. It says, the foolish virgins do not represent those who are hypocritical. They had a regard for truth. They advocated the truth. They were intending to go forth to meet the bridegroom. They are attached to those who believe the truth and go with them, having lamps, which represent knowledge of the truth. When there was a revival in the church, their feelings were stirred, but they failed to have oil in their vessels, because they did not bring the principles of godliness into their daily life and character. They did not fall upon the rock Jesus, the rock Christ Jesus, and permit their old nature to be broken up. This class is represented also by the stony ground hearers. Christ said, behold, a sower went to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Jesus explains the stony ground hearers and says, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy and receive it. Yet hath he had not in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So Luke chapter 8, verse 11 to 13. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for which for a while believe, in time and temptation fall away. So the fowls that the SOP or the Bible is talking about here are the demons. So the demons are taking away the word of God from the ones that are not bearing any fruit, or the ones that are not very serious in their walks. So dying to self daily is a good sign that we are getting ourselves ready for Christ's return. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Review in Herald, September 17, 1895, paragraph 6. It says, many receive the truth readily, but they fail to assimilate truth, and its influence is not abiding. They are like the foolish virgins who had no oil in their vessels with their lamps. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, which is brought into the soul through faith in Jesus Christ. Those who earnestly search the scriptures with much prayer, who rely upon God with firm faith, who obey his commandments will be among those who are represented as wise virgins. So before we continue reading, there are so many of those who are maybe keeping the Sabbath holy, but yet they deny the Holy Spirit being the third person of the Godhead. Yet they may say or proclaim that Jesus Christ is their Lord, but denying the Holy Spirit can also be attributed to denying Jesus Christ as their Savior, because the Holy Spirit represents the Lord Jesus. So continuing, the teachings of the Word of God are not yea and nay, but yea and amen. The requirement of the gospel is far-reaching, says the apostle. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Practical piety will not be attained by giving the grand truths of the Bible a place in the outer courts of the heart. The religion of the Bible must be brought into the large and the little affairs of life. It must furnish the powerful motives and principles that will regulate the Christian's character and course of action. The true followers of Christ, brothers and sisters, will be manifested and be distinguished when tough tests and trials are met or happens. Some of us may have different levels of trials, and the Lord is so merciful as He may only allow trials that He knows we can handle if we are abiding in Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So our Christian characters, our stance in the truth will be determined when a trial or testing occurs or happens in our lives. Review and Herald, September 17, 1895, paragraph 9, when it says, character is revealed by a crisis. When the earnest voice proclaim at midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The sleeping virgins are roused from their slumbers, and it was sin who had made preparation for the event. Both parties were taken unawares, but one was prepared for the emergency, and the other was found without preparation. Character is revealed by circumstances. Emergencies bring out the true metal of character. Some sudden and unlooked for calamity, bereavement, or crisis. Some unexpected sickness or anguish. Something that brings the soul face to face with death will bring out the true inwardness of the character. It will be made manifest whether or not there is any real faith in the promise of the Word of God. It will be made manifest whether or not the soul is sustained by grace, whether there is oil in the vessel with the lamp. So, brothers and sisters, our characters will be tested when there is a tough trial in our lives. And we all remember what happened to Job. He did not expect the trial that he had. Also what happened to Joseph. He did not expect that he was going to be sold by his brethren, by his brothers. James chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So how did Job reply or react to the trial that he was having? Job chapter 1 verse 21, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So brothers and sisters, some of us have severe trials or having severe trials at this moment. When the Lord gave something to our lives, whether it be siblings or material things, sons and daughters, we give praise to the Lord. There are some times that our loved ones have to go to sleep, or they had to go to sleep. But we give praise to the Lord for giving us the opportunity to have such loved ones. Because He can give, and He can also take away. So the trials of Job was written in the Word of God as an example for us to learn on how the Lord prospered Job after passing his intense trials. Same as goes to Joseph when he became the governor of Egypt. They did not go through to those trials just because of the price of the material things that the Lord was going to give them. It's just because they didn't want to sin. They wanted to keep the commandments of God and have their eyes on the Lord only. But because of their perseverance and motivation to keep the law of God, the Lord added those blessings that they were not expecting to have. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So brothers and sisters, this is the promise that the Lord will give us an expected end if we walk in the light of truth and we keep His commandments. We do not know the time and the hour. We know that the mark of the beast is going to be enforced very soon. But the prophecy is laid in the Word of God in testimonies for us to prepare for what's going to come. The character of Christ that is emulated daily by those who truly follow His steps into practice will be ready for the unexpected testing times and will not bend backwards during the time of adversity. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 10, it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So brothers and sisters, is our strength small or is it getting better? Trials may seem to crush us at the moment it happens, but the Lord Jesus gave us His promise as part of our training for our spiritual growth and to be perfect in character and mind. Trials keep us closer to Him, to rely on Him, because we cannot endure trials by ourselves. It gives us joy and peace after we've been through a trial. And with His help, all trials will become better. For example, the shepherd breaks one of the legs of the small lamb so that the tiny sheep will stay with the master as he heals up. Then the relationship with his shepherd grows stronger. We, as his bride, as the servants of the Most High God, we will be closer to our Master as we heal from our infirmities, physical or mental weaknesses that we cannot handle by ourselves. Psalm chapter 51, verse 8. It says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Review in Herald, September 17, 1895, paragraph 10. It says here, "Testing times come to all. How do we conduct ourselves under the test and proving of God? Do our lamps go out, or do we still keep them burning? Are we prepared for every emergency by our connection with Him, who is full of grace and truth?" The five wise virgins could not impart their character to the five foolish virgins. Character must be formed by us as individuals. It cannot be transferred to another. Even if the possessor were willing to make the sacrifice, there is much we can do for each other while mercy still lingers. We can represent the character of Christ. We can give faithful warnings to the erring. We can reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine, bringing the doctrines of the Holy Writ home to the heart. We can give heartfelt sympathy. We can pray with and for one another. By a living circumspect life, by maintaining a holy conversation, we may give an example of what a Christian should be. But no person can give to another his own mold of character. Let us duly consider the fact that we are to be saved, not as companies, but as individuals. So before we continue, those who are still in the SDA Church, in the Catholic Church, and to those churches that we all know that the Lord Jesus are not in their midst, they are to work, they are to live away. They are to walk away from those churches because they have to follow where the Lord is, whithersoever He goes. Continuing, "We shall be judged according to the character we have formed. It is perilous to neglect to prepare the soul for eternity, and to put off making our peace with God until upon a dying bed. It is by the daily transaction of life, by the Spirit we manifest, that we determine our eternity, our eternal destiny." Rather, "He who is faithful that is, he who is faithful in that which is least, is faithful also in much. If we have made Christ our pattern, if we have walked and worked as He has given us an example in His own life, we shall be able to meet the solemn surprise that will come upon us in our experience, and say from our heart, 'Not my will, but thine be done.'" So brothers and sisters, and to those who are listening, maybe SDA, your pastors cannot save you. Your ministers cannot save you. The Word of God alone can save you. Those pastors that say, "Stays on the ship," they are not telling you the truth. The Lord have not sent them. So to perfect our character, though we are not saying curse words anymore when we follow Christ, we can still make a mistake in our conversation daily if we are not very careful in our speech. For example, when a trial comes, how do we react by surprise? Can we keep the bridle in our tongues when things are not going well? Colossians chapter 3 verse 8. But now, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Review in Herald, July 20, 1897, paragraph 4. Those who would be ready to meet their Lord must keep their lamps filled with the oil of grace. It was a neglect to do this that distinguished the foolish virgins from the wise. They had lamps, but no oil. Their characters could not stand the test. The wise virgins had not only an intelligent knowledge of the truth, but through the imparted grace of Jesus Christ, their faith and patience and love constantly increased. Their lamps were replenished by their vital connection with the light of the world, while the foolish virgins awoke to find their lamps burning dimly or going out in the darkness. The wise virgins, with their lamps burning brightly, entered the festal hall, and the gates were shut. Greatly rejoicing at the sound of the bridegroom's voice, they joined the bridal procession. So, brothers and sisters, if we are walking the way the Lord wants us to walk, the more trials that may come into our lives, our lamps should be a lot brighter than before, because of the oil of grace of the Holy Spirit that is in us will help us go through all these trials. So let us not grieve the Holy Spirit and ask Him to create us a new heart every day, a heart that will keep His commandments. So with that, I hope and pray that all of us are blessed this Sabbath day.